All right, we're rolling. It's been a last couple of weeks. It's just been a dark time for me. I mean, depression, like I've never had. Gosh, eons. I cried more this week alone than I have in years. Things are just, it's rough for me. I'm learning a lot. A lot of people would run. They wouldn't want to go through what I'm going through, but I'm just going to stand and fight. You know, I was teaching the kids today in Sunday school in 2 Timothy. The Lord says, endure hardness as a good soldier. If I endured hardness to live for hell, I'm going to endure hardness to live for a Christian, the Christian life. And it just seems like every time I learn something in the Bible, I go through something. How many of you guys are willing to trade that, your comfort, to learn something? Yeah. I'm just telling you, man. I'm telling you that because I go through it. I'm not saying every single time God shows me something, I go through something. But when He's trying to wake me up and show me something, I'm going through it.
I say through it.
I didn't say out of it, I said through it. I was telling the guys this morning, a lot of people go to basic training and this and that, and a lot of them quit. They get out of it. Or there's those that go through it. We can go through it or we can get out. You know, God will sure take your hand and help you to get out of something. But He'd much rather take your hand and get you through it. Because then you don't have to go through it over and over and over.
Right.
And, anyway, here I am. I'm standing up here tired. I mean, just absolutely no sleep. I've been mean to my family. I'm not even kidding. I tell my family, I'm sorry for being ornery. I'm sorry for the. I don't want to be mean. I'm not trying to be a jerk to anybody. Forgive me. And I hate to be that type of person. I don't even want to be that way. It's not what I'm about anymore. I don't like to be mean. And, I'm just going through it. I'll get out of it. It'll happen. I'll make it through it. God's the only one that can get us through it. I mean, the church has been great. I think everybody, I'm not going to say names, but, the church helped us out with some stuff, and then boom, both our cars break down. Not one, both break down. Both. And the gift that the church gave us covered the one. I still have to come up with money for the other. But still, all in all, that was a big blessing that just happened to come at that time. And now Amy's car is safe, that's my thing. And she knows. My biggest thing is this. Here's my wife's car needs to be A1, needs to be safe, needs to be everything it needs to be. I don't care about anything else. My wife's car, or anything that she even gets in, has to be numero uno. She herself is in it, and my kids are in it. So therefore, I want them safe. Me, I'm all right. I can handle it. But I want my family to be safe. But anyway, last week we preached on a fool. This week we're going to go into something a little different, Proverbs 14. Now just to let you know, this whole thing came out of Proverbs 14 verses 9 through 17. And I spent about 8 hours just sitting in those few verses, and God just really showed me some things. I mean, it's good things, because I learned things out of here. But through all this stuff that I'm going through everything that's happening to me, we're going to see this in Proverbs 14, and we're starting in verse 10. 14:10, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The heart knoweth its own bitterness. Now, I can stand here before you today, and the rest of you guys, you have your own things that you're going through. Here's the choice you have. You can either do it with gladness, thanksgiving, let God get you through it, trust Him. Trust Him. That's a hard thing for a human being to do, is trust God, or you can just harbor that bitterness. Harbor that bitterness, drag your foot and your behind you, and try to make it through. I suggest you get rid of the bitterness. Suggest that you get on your face, as Matthew 6:33 says, seek God first. Let go of all that bitterness, and He can get you through it a lot better. I promise you'll be a lot quicker getting through things if you weren't harboring all that bitterness in yourself. Bitterness about destroyed my life. Bitterness almost sent me to hell. Bitterness, hold on to that crazy stuff. The things that I've had happen to me in my past about destroyed me. Because you know what it did? I let it influence the decisions of my life. And you all know my story. It wasn't a good choice. They weren't good choices. Because I let that bitterness control my thoughts. I let it control my actions. emotions. It became to the point where my conscience was seared. I had no feelings. Those of you, these kids that are in here today, they're very lucky to have parents, moms, dads, all that stuff. Just go ahead and look at your children and tell them, you are not important enough for me to stay here. I'm leaving. That's what I did to three of my children. I had no heart for them. It didn't break my heart for me to walk away from them. It didn't bother me a bit. That's a sick individual. Today I see things differently. That's a sick person. I don't see that it's normal and that it's right. But that's what bitterness did to me. That's what I was taught. That's what I allowed happen to my life. Well, I mean, just held on to that thing like it was okay to hold on to. That's my friend. I tell my wife, we just had a good talk the other day. I said, Amy, you hold on to that comfort zone, and that bitterness that you're in that comfort zone, that's where you're happy. That's where you're content. You can handle that. You're afraid of what you think you can't handle. She has no clue what stepping on that comfort zone, if it is, whether it's going to be harder or it's going to be better. She has no clue, but she'd rather just stay where she's at. She'd rather just go ahead and stay in that misery and that depression and everything else instead of trying to get out of what God is trying to get her out of. That's a hard lesson to learn. Let me tell you something. Grab the word, get on your knees, and go for it. You got nothing to lose. You went for it out there living for sin. You might as well get on your knees and go for it now living for the Lord. What's the worst that can happen to you? Change, become a better person? You might get some relief. I mean, think about it. We serve a mighty God, but do we see God as bigger than our problems? No. That's one of my big issues. A lot of times I don't see God that He's bigger than my problems. I see that I'm bigger than God and try to solve my own problems and get myself all crazy, messed up. But bitterness, that's a hateful thing to hide and harbor in your heart. That bitterness will drive you, I mean, to places you shouldn't even be going. And we have people sitting here in this church tonight. I know people that are really close to me, that's my family members, that hold on to that bitterness until they die. I mean, they just got it. It's theirs. I like it. It's mine. Nobody can take it from me. And not realizing that that ever was taken from them for 1 minute, they get some relief of all the stuff that's going on in their head. What's going on in their heart? What's going on in their hatred? I mean, their mind. I mean, just absolutely destroying themselves, and they're okay with that. It's okay to hold on to that. The sad thing is that person knows that bitterness is doing that to them. They know it. Let's go to Isaiah 38:17. I don't go to sleep with bitterness anymore. You know, I'm not having a problem sleeping. Hey, listen, I'm going to share something with you. I don't have problems sleeping at night because I have sin in my life that I just can't get out. I don't go to sleep. I'm not having problems sleeping at night because I hold on to bitterness or hate or anger. I don't have none of that stuff in my life anymore. I can't sleep at night because I'm in pain. You see, there's a difference there because I do have a clean conscience when I go to bed at night. I sleep good. What I did, I mean, before surgery, when I slept good. I slept wonderful, more than I've ever slept in my whole entire life. We were at McDonald's the other day. I mean, last week I said, I have enemies out in the world. I do. I have enemies. I haven't seen them in a long time. I don't know where they are with it. I'm not hiding from them. I'm out there or whatever. And I am kidding. Yes, we were at McDonald's. I told him, I said, gosh, I think that's one of the bikers that beat me up in Buffalo. I know this guy. I know him from somewhere. I mean, I can tell you, I just kept telling him. I said, I know who he is. And he kept staring at me. He knew who I was. Alright, that's something. I just said that last week, and then I run into somebody that does, listen, they put me in the hospital and everything by the time they were done with me. I went there a couple days later, we're 22, and I shot up their clubhouse. I mean, thank God there was nobody in there because I'd be in prison right now, probably for the rest of my life for killing somebody. And here I stand here today, and I don't have to worry about none of that. The worst they can do is send me to heaven. Okay, that's the worst they can do to me. I would miss my family dearly, but I tell you, I'd be in a much better place. But anyway, Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. You understand what he's saying there? There's people in this world today, right now in this very room, who are giving up peace to hold on to that bitterness. There's peace that God can give. There's peace that Jesus Christ can give you in your life right now, but you'd much rather hold on to that bitterness. That's a more comforting place for you to have peace. I know for many years, Excuse me. For many years, it was better for me to live my life in turmoil than have peace. I was more comfortable there. I just was. It was a more comforting place for me to live the way I lived than there was in peace. I had a hard time, you ask Amy, when I got out of prison. I went back into mental hospitals and everything else because I had a hard time adjusting to society. I had become institutionalized that bad. Over the years, it was hard for me to be at any institution. I had to be somewhere. I said, I have to go back somewhere, Amy. And we ended up signing me into a mental hospital, not because I was absolutely crazy, but because I needed to be in an institution. And then I finally came out and just faced it. And I went through absolute torture, didn't I not? Did I not for years went through absolute torture of living on the outside? That was a hard place for me. You guys look like, man, really? Yes, really. Living in the outside world was a hard place for me to be able to cope with. I can cope better inside. And I had to break that. That's a crazy thing. Am I not right? That's a crazy thought to think that somebody's more comfortable in prison than on the outside world. That's a crazy thought. But I was there. And you know what? People do that with their bitterness. People do that with their hatred. People do that with all the stuff that they hold inside their heart and their heads. And they sit there and they hold on to it. Hold on to it. Hold on. Why? Because you're more comfortable there. Gosh, if you have to face what you have to face to get out of something. And I fought hard. Amy knows I cried. And I used to write poems. I mean, did everything in my power, everything in my power to get out of being institutionalized. And I fought hard to get out of that. I mean, it wasn't probably just a couple years ago. Gosh, I'm finally free of that, Amy. Because even after those years, I still set up my room and did certain things the way I used to do in prison. I did that for all these years. I'm free of that now. Was it easy? No, it was not easy. It was hard. But you know what? I was comfortable there. And people hold on to that bitterness because they're just so comfortable there. It feels right to them. It feels good. But I'll tell you now, today, there's victory. There's victory where you do not have to be in that anymore.
Amen.
There's a victory and a freedom that I'm telling you, man, that I'm more free today than I ever was when I walked out after 5 years. I'm more free today than I have ever been in my entire life. I don't have any of that stuff in my heart. I don't have anything against a person in this world. Even those people that did what they did to me in my past, I don't have an issue with them. That's the first time in my life that I don't sit there and think about where these people are so I can go kill them. I don't think about that anymore.
Amen.
That's a miracle to me. I have so many miracles that have happened in my life in the past 2 years. One of them is bitterness. I mean, it's an absolute miracle that I don't have that in my heart anymore. I still get excited. I still look at Amy, I mean, many times. I'll just say, babe, can you believe I'm free from this? Babe, can you believe I'm free from this? Can you believe I don't do this anymore? Gosh, can you believe I don't do that anymore? That did a miracle to me, man.
Amen.
I'm free. Even today, as I stand up here today, going through what I go through, I'm free. You know what? That's my driving force. My driving force, I know for 100% sure, 110% sure. I mean, I'll bet my whole entire life on it. I'll bet my family's life on it. It doesn't bother me because I know that one day I'm going to come out on the other side. I know that I'm not going to be in this position my whole life. I know that. I stand on that firmly. And God says, well, here, then hold on to this. Then here, hold on to this. Then here, hold on to this. And it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I keep looking at my wife more and more because God keeps teaching me more and more. I said, now we're stopping this. Now we're going this way. Now we're stopping this. Now we're going to go this way. People are, you know, doing this and doing that. I said, it's got to stop. It's got to be me and you and God. I love my brothers and sisters. I thank everybody for helping me. But there's coming a time where God wants it to be me, Amy, and Him. Scary. That's a scary place to be. I think that time is coming. But you know, I wouldn't be there if I had bitterness in my heart.
Right.
My kids would know the wrath of bitterness. They don't know that. They have no clue. Yes, I can be mean, but they don't know mean. You know, I hear the story all the time about Miss Ruth Ann. And, you know, I said, wow, you know, Mom was kind of mean today. And they said, no, you don't know me. Because Miss Ruth Ann could be mean at one time in her life. They don't know that anymore. My children don't know that about me. Matter of fact, nobody in this room knows the meanness that I could have had. Because I don't have that bitterness. I don't need it. What do you mean being mean to somebody else? What do you mean me doing anything that I ever did in my past help me? I can stand on Job 33, I think it's verse 7 or 8, where it says, profit me not. I know my past did me no good. Can you say that really? Or are you thinking, oh, this is okay here? This is. I'm telling you now, my past did me no good. If you haven't reached that point in your life, I feel sorry for you. Because until you get to that point in your life, you're going to suffer. God's going to say, okay, well, then let's give you a little bit more of what you used to be. I think you used to be something, it was good for you. The definition of insanity, I told my wife this, is to continue to do the same thing over and over and expect something different. But we're all, how many of us today are trapped in that right now? That goes for a whole lot. So many people live their lives in these two verses, embedded in their hearts, their minds, and their ways of life, that they cannot see God and what He really wants to do. We see here that in the second half of Isaiah 38:17, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For how thou hast cast my sins behind thy back.
Amen.
How many can sit here today and say, Jesus has to go ahead and took that and out of love for my soul, taken my sin and said, they're gone. You don't have to deal with that no more.
It's over. Lord.
I have that standing here in front of you tonight. And there's other people who are saved who have that tonight. And I'm going to tell you what a glorious thought that is. I told the kids just this morning downstairs in my Sunday school. People look, they get saved, they love little because they've got little forgiven. I love a lot because a lot was forgiven of me. I could have never paid that sin debt. Even for 6 months of my life, I could have never paid even 6 months of my sin debt. I could have never paid even a month of my sin debt. But here we have a God who's so great and he said, I just love you so much. I love you so much that I'm going to die for you. And I'm going to go ahead and take that sin. I'm going to go ahead and take that bitterness. And I'm going to take it and toss it behind my back. Now I can give you peace and love and joy. Don't think you can't have that because you can't. It's not a person in this church or in this world God does not want to hand that to. And I say hand it to because He gives it to you. You don't have to earn it. I could not imagine me having to sit up here tonight and just sit up here and have to earn something from God. Because forever in eternity, though I'm forgiven, I do deserve hell. To burn forever for what I've done to people and against God. But He didn't want me there.
Amen.
He didn't want me there. That's proof. He didn't want me there. It's proof in my heart. And see, I'm not just walking around believing something make-believe. I'm believing a fairy tale princess story. I'm believing in a God who decided Bill Murray is important to me. I'm going to die for him. I need to open his eyes and let him see. And then he can fall in love with me. That's all God wants is our love. All He wants us to do is to recognize what we are, who we are, what we've become, what your sin has done for you in your past. Thank you, Josh. And He died. Thank you, buddy. To forgive every person, every soul that ever has lived. I mean, I feel bad for those who reject it. Because they just don't know. They've never given it a chance. I'm teaching the kids this morning out of 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. You think that you think Christians are weak people? Then why does God call them out to be soldiers and put them through what He puts them through?
Yeah, come on.
Huh? Yeah, we may have been weak when we got saved and this and that, but God knows what He's doing. And He can take a weak person and make them strong. And I'm not talking about physically strong, though. We are physically strong. But I'm just talking about, I told the kids this morning, I'd rather have my spiritual health than any physical health I could ever have.
Amen.
You don't have to believe that, and that's fine. I don't expect that. But I'm just telling you this. That is my life now. My lifeline is to try, which I fail all the time, but I want to walk as close to God and do what He wants me to do as much as I possibly can. That's my desire in my heart. My desire in my heart is not to live and do the things that I used to do. That is no longer a desire of my heart. Will I ever be perfect at it? No. I'm a human being. But God has go ahead. He took that bitterness from me. He went down that cross. He said, no longer you don't have to live like that. I have peace for you. Come on. Get out of that garbage. Come on, get out of that garbage. My kids. Thank God, some help came along. But I sat my kids down and said, you guys probably not going to get nothing for Christmas. I said, That's just, yeah, we're having a hard time right now, but you'll have food and clothes. You'll have what you need. Luke grabbed me and Amy, gave us a hug. He said, as long as I have you guys, we're fine. That was his answer. He wasn't upset and crying and whining. You know why? Because he knew mom and dad loved him. It didn't take a gift for him to see our love. They understand that when they get spankings, it's not because I'm mad at them and I can't stand them or hate them. They know it's because I love them and I want them to see right. I don't go after my kids angry. I don't spank my kids when I'm mad. If I have to, I'll walk away. Because all it's going to do is damage them when I walk at them like that. Now I walk in nice and calm and they're more afraid of me than I ever could be angry. Because they know I mean business. And they know I don't have to raise my voice at them and yell and scream. That's something me and Amy work really hard on. Do we fail? Of course we do. We fail. But we work hard at it. And here's the thing, guys. God wants you to work hard at it. He knows you're not going to be perfect. But He wants you to put your heart into it. Why? Because these kids deserve a chance. Every one of us, you look at every one of us in here, we've had a hard life. We can change that for our kids. That cycle stops right here. That's what I tell me and my family. The cycle stops right here. It's done. It's over with. It's over. Ask my kids. They go around telling people, no, the cycle stops here. They don't go tell people that. Because they know that's what we mean. We want that to stop here at the Morey family. Stop it at the Baylows. Stop it at the Spencers. Stop it at the Montgomerys. Let's do this. I'm ready. I mean, I got my war pack on. I'm ready to rock and roll, man. And I don't mean rock and roll guitar. I mean, I'm ready to rumble. I fought out there, been in games and everything else. Here, boom, I'm called to be a soldier. This is the backup I have right here in this room. These are the ones that I have behind my back. I have no problem choosing any one of you guys or all of you guys. I do. You guys are my brothers and sisters. Let's do this. I'm ready to rumble. Why? Living this Christian life is not such a bad thing. People are like, well, you're using it for a crutch. No, I wouldn't choose Christianity for a crutch because it's too hard.
Amen.
Huh? Why? God doesn't want me being me. If He wanted me being me, He would have just left me right alone, let me be me and burn in hell. Boot camp. They change you. They tear you down and rebuild you into something totally new. Tell me God doesn't do that to a saved person.
Come on.
Huh? 2 Timothy 2:3-4. That's what I taught my Sunday school today. There's a lot of things going on when Jesus calls you a soldier. Go ahead and look at the military and compare your life to it. And you'll see a lot compared to it. Just a lot. Why? Because God has to tear you down and make you into a new person. He's going to just absolutely change everything. And let me tell you something. Soldiers have to put up with stressful situations, so they're put in it over and over again. You get my point?
All right, yeah, sir.
Huh? That's what God does to us. Why? He needs soldiers, man. We have enough little wimps out there. You know what? He says that in Isaiah that He chooses us to go through the fire of affliction. Why? So His name isn't polluted. I'm going to allow you to pollute my name? If God just saved me and then sent me out there, the old same wretched person I was when I was saved, how bad would His name get polluted? But if He puts me through the fire of trials and afflictions and changes me, where He gets the glory for His name, for what He's done in my life, how much more of a better thing is that for both of us? People think, oh, you want to do everything to glorify God. That just gives Him the glory. Okay. Oh, but the reward for me is unspeakable.
Right.
Here's a good reward for me. It's not monetary. Those three sitting right back there in that pew is a good reward for me.
Amen.
If that's what I have for the rest of my life, I'm happy. I don't need to be rich and famous and all that. I don't need to. I don't need it. I know somebody who's very close to me and is hell-bent on being rich. Well, go ahead. I'm rich right here. I'm rich right here. And I mean that. I mean that with all my heart. You guys, I look forward to seeing you guys. I don't have issues with any of you people. I love you guys. You're my family. I mean, I enjoy talking to you. I enjoy having fellowship with you. I enjoy seeing you. Pete with his tie. I love the bow tie, man. He even tied it himself. I love that stuff, man. You know? Having these young guys come down and put, you know, young guys and girls come down and put up with me every Sunday morning. No, they do. But you know what? I get to talk to them. I do. They hear me. I ask them to pray for me on things. I really tell them what's going on in my life. Because I want them to see that what reality is. This is a real Christian life.
People go through things. And they'll be able to maybe get some help out of that.
And then I go into the Word. God puts on whatever God puts on my heart. We preach. And we just have a good time with it. I mean, I have a good time now with them guys. I love having them. I'm still trying to get out Lydia, so tell her I'll be there next Sunday. You see, I threatened. You can. That's good. But now I'm going to have to go after your sister. I keep telling them I'm going to be there at 9:30 on Sunday morning to get you up. She came, though. I'm happy she's here, but Lydia skipped out on me. But I love seeing them guys there, man. If anything else, just come hang out and hear me. Hear what the Word of God has to say. Who knows? I told them last week, you guys may never get saved in this church. But maybe one day when you're 45 years old, your world has come out from underneath you, you might remember something that happened in this church. You might remember something that I was preaching this Bible and get saved.
True.
We don't know when it's going to happen. 40 years old, man, when I got saved. 40 years old. 40 years old. Caleb, Joshua, Autumn, Luke, the Montgomerys, we don't know when or if they're going to get saved. We can't say they're going to get saved at all. Our prayers, they might. But you know what? Hearing this, hearing the preaching, seeing the lives changed, wouldn't that convince some people? But here's the thing. Don't just do it here. Bring it home with you. Whatever you learn here, whatever the Bible is preaching, bring it home and live it in your house. Don't leave Bible here. Don't leave Christianity here. Don't leave correcting kids here. Bring that stuff home and get it done. Get it done at home as well as here. And I'll tell you what a difference it'll make. Do I have perfect children? No. But I tell you, they're a lot better off than they were.
Amen.
Why? Just a little love, a little effort, not only here but at home. Taking care of them at home. Their teachers know immediately as soon as something happens, they can contact us and we're going to take care of it. And their teachers know that. So I'm straightforward with the teachers at school. You tell me about something with my kid, I will take care of it. Yes, I spank my children. If you have a problem with it, you come over and watch me how I spank my children. Then after you walk, I'll go do it to yours. They'll behave just as well. I'm just saying, spanking these children does not hurt them. Here's the issue. Here's where people are getting upset with the correcting of the children. When you're angry. And people see that you're angry when you go after your kids. To them, that's abuse. To them, that's abuse. There's a very thin line between abuse and anger. You can get mad enough, though you're not trying to abuse your kid, but you can be mad when you correct your child and you're abusing them. I've done it to my children. And I vowed to never, ever spank them or correct them ever again when I was angry. Ever. Did I not? I won't. I am not. Why? Abuse. Right there. That little thin line. But, like I said, they're more apt to listen to what I have to say being calm than angry. I don't want my son, when he looks back at me, because he breaks my heart and everything else, the kid. But when he's 18 years old and he looks back at me, if he wants to leave the house, he can look back at me and go, man, my dad loved me and he taught me well. Now I can go and face this world.
Amen.
I don't want him to look back at me and go, I'm never coming back here again. That would be horrible. I want my kids to be able to come, know we can go to church together, pray together. I mean, we pray a lot together, and that's another key. I don't know why I got on this, but I'm going to just stay here until God so moves me. This needs to be said about the correction, about the abuse, about bringing it home, and praying together as a family. Please, pray with your children before you leave or anybody leaves. Pray at night. Do a Bible study at night with your kids. All you have to do is read one verse. One. And I'm telling you, how happy. Our kids remind us all the time, is it BBB time yet? You see, once they get on track, they want to stay on track. And I'm telling you, what a difference it makes in your family, because why? They're thinking about the Bible every morning. They start putting their shoes on. Autumn or Luke will go, are we going to pray before we leave? Yep. Me and Amy can get up pretty miserable in the morning sometimes, you know. And do we pray anyway? That's right. The kids ain't letting us go nowhere without praying. And that's a good thing. Why? Because the day turns out to be okay. The things just turn out to be a little better. Sure, it's still hard. There's still things that have to be handled. But you know what? We can come home and handle them the way they're supposed to be handled. Things still go wrong. It ain't perfect. But we still handle it the way God would have us to handle the children. If you raise your children according to this Bible, it's not going to hurt you or them at all. I mean, it hurts Amy. When I'm not home, it hurts her heart to have to spank the children. But you have to get over that. The Bible warns you about that. So don't let their tears stop you from spanking. And that's a hurtful thing. You just have to get over it. You got to spank them. I tell Amy and Luke, Autumn and Luke, because they have a problem. And we have to get this problem right because they need to understand. It's all good when I'm home. If I leave, they like to try to cross them out. So here's that new rule in the house. They have to memorize the rules. Here's their other rule in the house now, is that when I'm not there, Mommy is just as much an authority as Daddy. You have to listen to her just as much as you have to listen to me.
Amen.
They didn't like that. Well, too bad. Now they're going to get their butts worn by me and Mommy. They have to know that Mommy's just as much an authority as Daddy is when I'm not there.
Amen.
And if she can't correct it, then when I'm home, after she's already taken care of what she's done, that's her. You can ask my kids, and they'll come out and tell you straight up, does Daddy mind spanking you? No. I don't mind spanking you. Your tears don't bother me. Okay? But they also know it's done out of love. It's done. Yeah. It's done for them. It's not done for me. Listen, when you correct your kids, get it out of your mind that it's for you. It's for them. It's not for you. It's not for your comfort. It's for them. It's correction for them. Not correction so you can be comforted or so their mouth is shut or so they're doing... No, listen. It's correction for them. They're the ones who need to be corrected, and so some parents. Biggest correction in the world. You want to see how to raise your kids and get corrected right here. Like I told the kid, I'm almost done right here in 2 minutes. I told the kids this morning in 2 Timothy 2:3. That soldier knows his weapon inside and out. He can take it apart, put it back together, blindfold in a dark room, underwater, it does not matter. They know their weapon second to none. Why doesn't a Christian know their weapon? We're called soldiers in the Bible. Why don't we know our weapon inside and out? Why can't I eat? If I had this Bible sitting here, I can go to another room and I can talk to somebody about Christ or whatever, and I can quote scripture after scripture to them. Why shouldn't I know my Bible like that? That's my weapon. Nobody's afraid to carry a gun and show the whole world they have a gun. Why are you afraid to carry your weapon then? This is your weapon. Why are you afraid to carry this in and out of the house of God? Why are you afraid to carry this with you? Man, be proud of this Bible. Not proud in a proud, bad way, but take this Bible to where you need to go. It's your sword, man. This is how you're going to defeat things. Matthew 4 or 5. The devil comes to tempt Jesus. What's he use every single time? His weapon, the Word of God. Why wouldn't we? We are, listen people, just in case you didn't realize, I'll just enlighten you real quick. We are in a battle second to none here, down here.
Amen.
There's a battle going on, a spiritual battle, and a battle against people that has anything to do with Christianity. Why won't you have your weapon? Why won't you know this inside and out, whether you have it with you or not? Why won't you have this with you and ready to use it at all times? That's what we need to do. I'll just tell you now,